A little stumble on the step. Hopefully we don't have too much stumble in the message. Except maybe we do, because I only planned for a sermonette. I think I am supposed to give a sermonette. Maybe there was something going on there, and definitely don't want to take any time away from Mr. Beam here in a little bit, but that's okay. I really appreciate the introduction from Mr. Martin. We worked together on the Prophecy Advisory Committee, and I'm very privileged to be part of that, and all the work that I'm able to do for the church, very grateful to be part of that. Grateful to see a lot of you, grateful to see all of you, and many of old friends that we've been able to see and get together with. It's just been great. We're going to try to meet as many people as we can. That's what I want to talk about a little bit today. I hope you're all having a wonderful feast. My family and I have been enjoying it a great deal, and despite a few hiccups, you know, along the way, always come in some form or another. It's so beautiful here. There's so much to do, so many fine restaurants, and of course, the waters beckon. But above all that is being among God's people. And that's a greater point of the feast. You know, something that I've experienced at a number of international feast sites is brethren being all together in one place with joint meals and spending a lot of time together. We don't have that as much at U.S. feast sites, especially with the large number of people we have at U.S. feast sites. It's not as conducive to that. But unfortunately, it sometimes seems like people come together only to immediately scatter after services to do their own thing. Now, it's not wrong to do your own thing to some extent, or to spend quality time with your immediate family and close friends, but we should consider why we've come all this way. Today is family day at the feast, and we do want to focus on our individual families, but we should also remember that we are all family. We are God's family as we keep the entire feast. And we should have as much time, as much together time as God's family as we reasonably can while we're here. Brethren, God wants us to gather together, to celebrate the feast together in anticipation of what it pictures, not to be isolated or scattered. And we'll look at three aspects of this with the most focus on the final point. And I've titled the message simply, Be Together. Point number one is come and gather together. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 14, we'll start there. Deuteronomy 14. And the context here in Deuteronomy 14, which we've already seen so far, is that of saving second tithe to use at God's festivals. And in Deuteronomy 14, in verse 25, we'll break into the verse. It says, take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. Notice that. Go to the place. God desired that people leave their homes and normal workaday lives, as well as their local Sabbath meeting place, and travel to a central gathering place to meet with many others. Now, do you think that God meant for people to come from all over the place just to hang out by themselves or with their immediate family and friends? I mean, many of us could do that without making a long journey to a central meeting point. Meeting point here is the key. And with that, we move to point number two. If you hold your place here in Deuteronomy 14, and we'll turn over to chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31. Point two is worship and learn together. Worship and learn together. And again, we're going to break into the verse here in verse 10, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 10. Actually, we can read this right where the quote starts. Moses said, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, gather them together, men and women and little ones and the stranger who's within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. It's awesome. I mean, even the stranger is to come and to learn this and to learn to fear God. But it says here that this reading of the entire law was to happen every 7 years. But clearly the feast was meant to be a time of instruction even in the intervening years. For instance, the book of Ecclesiastes was traditionally read, and many of the Psalms were performed, and much of the Bible would be taught. People had the joyful experience of worshiping and learning together back then with the entire nation. And we have formal instruction and worship in our services today as we meet together with a large grouping of God's people. I see a large grouping in front of me right now. And we have come to worship and to learn together. But is this the only togetherness God wants for us here? Turn back now to where we were in Deuteronomy 14, if you'll go back there, Deuteronomy 14. And that's point number three. We're going to mention this. Feast and fellowship together. That's what the main thing I want to talk about here in the remaining time. Feast and fellowship together. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23 here says, "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide." And we skip down to verse 26 here. And it says, "You shall rejoice." We've been told this already. Of course, this is a big part of the feast. Deuteronomy 14 is actually talking about all three feast seasons. And eating and drinking was a part of all the feast seasons, but particularly so for the Feast of Ingathering. There was so much more to rejoice with at this great feast late in the year. Tabernacles, which the Jews now call Zeman Simchatenu, which means the season of our rejoicing. And this was to be enjoyed with others. Meals were significant in Scripture, being shared in terms of coming together, reconciliation, rejoicing, and fellowship. Peace offerings, for instance, were shared meals with priests and offerers coming together. And of course, there was a sacrifice there that made that possible. Sharing meals shows people being at peace and in camaraderie with one another. It's a more intimate and unguarded occasion that makes conversation much easier. When you're sitting together at the table with others, you're more compelled to communicate with each other. It's kind of awkward if you don't. It compels you to talk to each other in a good way. Sharing enjoyable activities has this effect as well. The feast instruction here in Deuteronomy 14 parallels that in the book of Ecclesiastes, which was read at Tabernacles, telling us to eat and drink and enjoy God's good gifts. This signified a proper good time with companionship, not in isolation. And it's not just about meals, as the metaphor also concerns experiencing things together, where we read, "Taste and see." That's in Psalm 34:8. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste is not really talking about literal eating. It's talking about experiencing in a more general sense. I won't have you turn there, but Jude 1:12 actually refers to the fellowship experiences of the church as love feasts, for they help develop love for God and for one another. We find scriptural parallels in all this with the coming kingdom of God. I'll just mention as a reference Isaiah 25, verse 6. Isaiah 25, 6 refers to the millennium as a feast of choice pieces and fine wines. It's going to be a wonderful world, a great banquet. I would like you to turn to Luke 14, if you'll flip over to there. Luke 14. And here in, we all look forward to the coming wedding feast, the great wedding feast. We can read about that in Matthew 22, Revelation 19. And the whole kingdom age is described as a great banquet in several places. In Luke 14 here, verses 15 through 24, Jesus gave the parable of the Great Supper. And he introduces it with this in Luke 14, verse 15. Again, we'll break into the verse. He said, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, bread was a general term for food at that time. But actually, the footnote here shows that the majority text of the New Testament, which we consider authoritative, says dinner instead of bread. So it's really, "Blessed is he who shall eat dinner in the kingdom of God." And Jesus elsewhere told his apostles that they would eat and drink at his table in his kingdom. And I'll just give you as a reference on that Luke 22:30. But the physical eating is not the big focus here. Paul plainly stated in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Shared enjoyment and coming together at a common table is the motif in the banqueting imagery. In fact, the kingdom feast will be one great family union with all participating and no one excluded. This is what we are meant to picture at the Feast of Tabernacles. Consider also that learning God's ways is not just done in services, but in fellowship with God's people, in whom the Father and Christ dwell. We learn from one another. We encourage one another. We help each other to grow. And God intended that we do this with more than just our immediate friends and family and even local brethren, or he would not have told us to journey to a far meeting place. He wants us to have much broader interaction. In conclusion then, brethren, be together. God doesn't want us to come together to be by ourselves. He wants us to come together. You know, if you look at the verses right before what we just read here in Luke 14, verses 12 through 14, you'll see Jesus telling us to invite more than just friends and family when giving a feast. Of course, private meals are also fine. Don't want to deny that. As this is talking more about a big to-do. But it would be also good and fitting to invite others to smaller occasions as we're able. As we go out to meals and activities, let's be mindful to try to include others. I know it can be difficult, but at least some of the time. Think back to Mr. Ost's encouragement from Nehemiah 8 about providing portions for whom nothing is prepared, and how we'll all be doing that in the millennium. For those who are lonely, want to be invited to occasions, that is definitely something to pray about. And we should all pray for one another in this regard. Certainly do your best to be outgoing, attend planned activities, and engage others in conversation. Make the most of the fellowship opportunities that you're afforded. And try not to get upset with people for not extending invitations, but be forgiving, realizing that we don't know what others are coping with or what's going on with their thinking at a given moment. Try to be understanding toward others. Give them the benefit of the doubt. That's a vital part of coming together. Again, brethren, as we observe this feast of godly love, let's strive to be together as God's family, as a foretaste of the great family gathering yet to come in the awesome fellowship banquet of the kingdom, when we will at last all be together forever.